Today on Seculo, whether it's exposing communist China's threat to protecting crisis pregnancy centers from the radical left, the ACLJ is fighting for you.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo, folks. A lot to talk about today on the broadcast, so I'm glad you've tuned in with us. We can get into the border crisis, China, of course, the attack on the pro-life pregnancy centers, and of course, the fight for life in a post-Roe world. You know, we want to celebrate that win. And I think it's still, you can still celebrate it. You know, it's still a new victory in that sense. But we have people voting in just a couple days in Kansas next Tuesday. ACLJ Action's gotten involved there because of your financial support and running ads on a pro-life amendment that would allow them to finally legislate in Kansas. That's really all it does, is open the door in Kansas to legislating restrictions on abortion. So that's what people are actually voting on there. That's the truth. There's so much misinformation in that vote. I talked to some people this week. Someone at their workplace was saying, you know, vote against this because they'll accuse me of murder for IVF. No. In fact, you vote yes in Kansas, you're just voting again to allow your legislature to finally legislate the people's representatives. But we saw, Logan, in Michigan, $20 million of money for adoption agencies vetoed by their Democrat governor, passed by their legislature, the representatives right. of the people, vetoed by the Democrat governor to somehow, they want to create this crisis of there's all these babies and no one to take them.
Right. It's the conversation they have with Elizabeth Warren when talking about how, you know, we need to get rid of essentially all crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life pregnancy centers around the nation. And when you have that kind of rhetoric, it does become very clear that this has nothing to do with prenatal, postnatal care. This has only to do with their big business.
Yeah, but listen to Elizabeth Warren. I mean, just to understand, this is the mainstream now of one of the major political parties in America.
We need to shut them down here in Massachusetts, and we need to shut them down all around the country. You should not be able to torture a pregnant person like that.
Now, that day she said that, I had on one of our friends who runs a number of pro-life pregnancy centers in South Carolina, Piedmont Women's Center. You know, this idea of torture, these are nice facilities. By the way, so much nicer than any abortion clinics. And remember what happened when some of these abortion clinics got exposed, like the Gosnell that they don't like to talk about right now.
Yeah.
That was, I think, in a sense, it wasn't the beginning of the pro-life movement. There was a beginning of a turn against this idea that you have unrestricted abortion with no rules and no hospitals, and the doctors don't have to actually be able to get you into a hospital, and you don't even have to have the care of like an ambulatory care center. That is like being in the back of an ambulance.
Yeah, when they started doing that, I feel like a lot of people did turn on it going, wait a second, you're saying if there was a problem with the medical procedure, we don't have the ability to even get you to a hospital. And that became a big point, was is that even legal? And they fought that you don't have to have the ability to get someone to a hospital in this medical procedure, because like they said, you know, that these services are such a small percentage of what they do. But we found out, obviously, sure, it may be one of many things you offer, but it's 99% of what you do. And this becomes a big, big concern for the health. You want to talk about a real health crisis for women? That's the health crisis. Doesn't really have to do with these, you know, pro-life pregnancy centers that are often trying to provide, honestly, they provide much more in terms of postnatal care than a lot of them.
And let me tell you, folks, we're able to go represent those pro-life pregnancy centers. They're nonprofits, too. They want to use their resources that are donated to them to help women, to help children. We're able then to use our resources to represent them at no cost, so they don't have to dig into their budget to hire law firms to defend them from the state of New York, as you'll learn on the broadcast today. On the broadcast today, we'll get into pro-life pregnancy centers. We're going to get into China issue, international issues as well. But let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ financially. The matching challenge for this month in July goes through this Sunday. So donate today at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. It is so. It will keep the doors open to those pro-life pregnancy centers because they don't have to worry about legal costs versus opening the doors to help women. Again, fighting back against China. All of that work that we do at the ACLJ is because of you. Donate today. ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. Be right back. to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-31. Today we're joined by our Senior Advisor for Foreign Policy and National Security, Rick Rennell. Rick, we just heard a news report for people who watch our broadcast, but I want to say this for people who are listening. The FCC mandated that the cell phone companies start taking down this Huawei technology that's on these cell towers that has enabled the Chinese government to spy on our most strategic assets, including the U.S. Strategic Command, which oversees our nuclear weapons arsenal. And one of the reports on Fox News is that they haven't completed this because they were $3 billion short. I mean, now, Rick, at a time when we spend billions and billions on legislation, we don't even know where it's going half the time. I mean, that happens. If you're $3 billion short to get the Chinese tech off of your cell towers, you would think that would be something that would be more urgent in the United States of America.
Look, this goes back to something, Jordan, that we've talked a lot about, which is the whole Russia, Russia, Russia narrative, the collusion hoax, is really what the Chinese wants American politicians and American governments to do. They have been able to get away with climbing into our systems because the press and the Democrats have literally been saying, don't look at China, look at Russia. The Trump administration tried to do this. When I was ambassador, when I was DNI, we were screaming about what the Chinese were doing. The CNN exclusive, that's not an exclusive. We knew that during the Trump administration. They just didn't pay attention until now.
You know, Rick, one of the aspects of it, I mentioned this earlier in the first segment of the broadcast, but you've got the FBI started a counterintelligence investigation. And I'm not complaining. I think that was a good thing to do because it was the situation where the equipment was being put in. In this particular situation, the Chinese government was offering to spend $100 million to build a Chinese garden at the National Arboretum in Washington. Those of us that know Washington know where that is, beautiful area. But they were going to put temples, pavilions, and a 70-foot white pagoda. The project was, you know, very enthusiastically endorsed by the government in Washington, D.C., more tourism. U.S. counterintelligence officials began digging into the details. They found a couple of red flags. Let me point them out. The pagoda, they noted, would have been strategically placed on one of the highest points in Washington, D.C., 2 miles from the U.S. Capitol, what the FBI determined would be a perfect spot for signal intelligence collection. Then, also alarming was, and you'll appreciate this because both being a diplomat and a head of DNI, also alarming was the Chinese officials wanted to build the pagoda with materials to the U.S. that were going to be sent and shipped via U.S. to the United States in diplomatic pouches, which U.S. custom officials then cannot, of course, look at, because of our international agreements and our treaty agreements with these parties. That's how they wanted to build it. This shows you the depth of what China will do to try to gather intelligence on the United States.
And let me be clear, this is the tip of the iceberg. If you were on the other side of seeing the intelligence, we have seen this for years. We've explained this to governments in Europe. I personally have explained this to the Germans. We have examples of what the Chinese were trying to do throughout Europe that we shared. Top secret security clearance information for only individuals with a top secret security clearance could get this information. We got approval to give it to some of our allies, and some of our allies didn't believe it, or were too far down the road with the Chinese products that they weren't able to kind of rip it out or pull it back, or they thought this was a real problem. They thought that they could institute some sort of program to stop the Chinese from doing what they wanted to do, and they were going to still take all of the hardware and software. And we said, no, they have a backdoor right into your system. If you try to stop them here, they're going to come in around this way. They created the technology. You're not going to be able to stop them. And so we tried during the Trump administration to some success, but there are certain governments in Europe that didn't listen that are now in a position of finding out that they were wrong. And we certainly have examples throughout the United States where local governments or governors fell for it, and we had to go in and try to stop them. I think the FBI is behind a little bit here. They should have been doing this years ago, years faster than what they have been doing. And yet we need more aggressive oversight. Politicians who get involved in these issues dig deep and then move quickly to try to stop it before it becomes part of a program that you can't rip out.
Yeah, I mean, right now you can rip out the Huawei from the cell towers. And some of that's been done, but it's not been completed. There are still active Huawei towers and the communication device by our military bases. I just want people to understand that. And these companies are saying, hey, you just didn't give it. You told us to go in and do this as a private company. And there's another example we put up on the screen, the Warren Air Force Base and all the Huawei towers. Look at all of the ICBM capabilities right there. I mean, these are where our major nuclear weapons and security devices are. But I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-30, because there are some good questions about this, because you see DeSantis talking about this in Florida, is, hey, they're buying up all this land here. We need to do something about it. Adam in California has a question about, you know, kind of the starting point question here, which is a good one. Adam, welcome to Secul. You're on the air. Hey, Adam, you there? Doesn't look like he's there. You know, and he was going to ask, Rick, which is the bottom line is, Why is this something we have seen? Is this a pattern? The Chinese buying our land? Is this something new? I mean, it's finally getting people's attention. But is this something you saw as DNI? You saw as ambassador, or even going back further with your time at the UN, that they're coming here and buying land, trying to get around the safeguards that we have in place by buying kind of generic farmland that's not necessarily under U.S. review.
You know, this is why I've always said China is a crisis and Russia is a problem, but the entire political system focusing on just Russia, Russia, Russia is really doing Chinese bidding, because we've seen this slow creep from the Chinese for 20 years. They've little by little, they've gotten into Hollywood, into big tech, into our universities. They are buying up land. We've used these examples of where we personally, the United States government, has failed and allowed China to come in and build some of these cell towers, or we found ways that they yep. creeped in and we didn't know. We've used these examples with the Europeans to say, don't do this, because we made the mistake. We've tried to be very clear. I think we've got to be much more aggressive, and our politicians in Washington need to educate themselves and catch up.
We've got a lot of calls coming in at 800-684-3110. Let's go to Tim in California. Tim, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What is the Biden administration going to do to stop Chinese espionage?
Yeah, there's the question of the day. I don't see much right now. The FBI, I will say, on this national garden they were going to build with counterintelligence capabilities, Rick, the FBI stopped that through a counterintelligence move. But the Biden administration doesn't seem to. It's a saying that they're not on top of this is an understatement.
Look, they first need to recognize that there's a problem, and they haven't even done that. Remember, they've denied that the Hunter Biden laptop, full of all sorts of information about China, Chinese businessmen, China policies, China getting close to the Biden administration, Biden team, Biden family. They've never even acknowledged this yet. And so before you figure out how to solve the problem, you got to know that there is a problem. We don't have a Biden family, a White House, focused on China because they don't think that it's a problem yet. I mean, we'll just look at Nancy Pelosi's trying to go to Taiwan. The Chinese are now freaking out. And who knows what's going to happen? Are they going to back down? Is the Speaker of the House going to not go to Taiwan simply because China has wagged their finger and said, don't do it? I certainly hope not.
Yeah, I mean, this is the bigger issue. I think it is freaking people out, because we're seeing it time and time again. I think it's something that we're just building on. We're just starting. People are just starting to learn about and take seriously the land purchases, what they're purchasing it for. There is legislation, we're going to talk about it later in the broadcast, on the CHIPS Act that's gotten bipartisan support. It's also, though, tried to be derailed because you know, this was the whole Pelosi's husband buying the $5 million. So there's a lot of people at play here, and I think that's what gets people off China, and it's easier to focus on Russia as a bad guy.
Of course.
Because with China, you got legitimate businesses. They're not necessarily breaking the law because they're doing business back and forth. And then you've got you do have safeguards in place, but you have to use them.
But here's the thing. China has intervened in our universities. They've infiltrated the university system. They have infiltrated congressional offices. I think of Eric Swalwell's office, where they've infiltrated congressional offices. They are trying to infiltrate Washington, D.C. and counterintelligence capabilities. Rick, we only got 40 seconds. This threat is real, and we have to be on top of it.
I want to give people a little piece of good news, though. Your government, your intelligence agencies know this. The problem is with the politicians at the local, state, and federal level. They've got to educate themselves, and you've got to demand that they focus on China.
And that's exactly what we're doing.
It is not just a federal issue. A lot of times what China's doing is going to local governments, just like they try to do in D.C., which is a bigger scale example, and try to say, yeah, we want to do this for you. In North Dakota, hey, we'll build you a pipeline, but you got to let us give us this land by the Air Force Base. Be right back on Secular, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. Welcome back to Seculo, and the ACLJ has taken action on this, whether it is, again, a vote's coming up in Kansas next week, or legal work. I want to focus on that legal work in this segment of the broadcast. We're bringing in Frank Mannion, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, because, Frank, you were in New York, Pennsylvania as well, working with pro-life pregnancy centers. We may end up representing those pro-life pregnancy centers. We're in that process now. You're in the meetings with them, because they are coming under attack.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan, it's unbelievable some of the stuff we're hearing. I mean, I guess we've always been sort of vaguely familiar with it, but it's amazing when you're out here literally on the ground, you feel like you're in the trenches. Most of these places are shoestring operations and typically they're underground, literally. So anyway, we're hearing things like, the vandalism. And one particular individual told us about the fact that her personal and her PRC, Pregnancy Resource Center, account was hacked shortly after the leak of the Dobbs decision. They've got Chase Bank investigating that, the local police investigating that. We've heard about people showing up at the Pregnancy Resource Centers with gasoline in bags that, suddenly left after a few questions were asked. They're all rather scared of this New York investigation for good reason, which basically gives the state the power to go in and ask anything they want about these regulatory
Let's talk about this New York law that we've been very concerned about, and that's one of the reasons you and Ed are there. Let's talk about what that New York law gives these investigative agencies.
Yeah, I mean, New York decided that of all the other things it could be spending its time on, it needs to go investigate pregnancy resource centers, and the fear is it's basically unlimited subpoena power is given to the Department of Health and other state agencies to go in with subpoenas and ask these people, well, require these people to come forward with every piece of information these investigators can cook up. We're talking about shoestring operations, Jay, mostly staffed by volunteers, frequently affiliated with churches or other charitable organizations. And now they're going to have to take their time responding to, frankly, just simply burdensome for the sake of being burdensome subpoenas, whose really goal, we believe, because of the politicians who are pushing these things, is to shut these places down. I don't understand, Jay, as I'm sitting here talking to these people this week, what the focus is, why the focus is on them. All they want to do is help women and girls who want to have their babies. And usually that means providing material assistance, connecting them with the proper social agencies or government programs that could help them, getting the medical insurance in some cases. The stories we're hearing just, they're inspiring, and yet at the same time, it's infuriating to witness what's going on. That's why I'm glad we're here and we're doing what we're doing.
Well, we've deployed lawyers on the ground there. I mean, folks, this is because of your support of the ACLJ. But listen, this fight with New York is not our first rodeo with New York. We've been fighting New York for a long time, but they are aggressively, CC, coming after these crisis pregnancies.
Right.
Aggressively.
Exactly. And as Frank was saying that, I literally in my mind am seeing, sitting with another crisis pregnancy center several years ago, a same kind of thing with a subpoena and having to go through just documents after voluminous documents that they're requesting. And really all it is to harass and try to shut them down. There's no need for these documentations. And again, the reason that they're always at the center of the attack is because they are on the front lines. They are the ones that are providing true options for pregnant mothers and giving them the help and assistance that they really need when you're in a pregnancy.
Yeah, I think also, what we're seeing too is yesterday we were talking about New York's mayor, the city of New York, how you know they're dealing with this migrant crisis, and really then his one of the agencies that's responsible for the homeless crisis there said the migrant issue is a very small part of the homelessness issue and the burden on our resources. We have too many homeless New Yorkers that are here that are not that we're not taking care of, and the crime is out of control. And yet, as Frank said, this is where they focus their state resources, not on figuring out how to take their major cities. And listen, New York as well has got a lot of people hurting economically throughout their state with inflation like this. But they're not focused on that, the leaders.
No, they're going to spend their money on trying to put crisis pregnancy centers out of business. Now, Frank, you talk, we've already got, I understand, a group of clients being lined up right now, and we may have some serious legal challenges that we're going to bring.
Yeah, that group is about to double in the next couple of days, Jay. I can assure you of that. Yeah, how about this? Several people have told us that shortly after the Dobbs opinion was leaked, they were visited by the intelligence department of the New York Police Department because the police were basically warning them. There's a list there, and the cops, of course, don't reveal their sources. And crisis pregnancy centers are on that list, and we're letting all of you know, be careful. Just take precautions and let us know if you see anything suspicious. It's amazing that these people are the target of the other side. Just amazing to me.
All right, Frank, we appreciate the update. Frank is in New York with Ed White, two of our senior lawyers working on this. And look, folks, I mean, there's a target list that the New York authorities have on crisis pregnancy centers. Think about that for a moment. But like you said, Cece, this is not the first time this has happened.
No, it's not. And sadly, it won't be the last time. I think, you know, every day I come to work and there's another attack on a crisis pregnancy center. Again, whether it's through the state, whether it's through, you know, a court proceeding, whether it's through groups like Jane's Revenge actually attacking them. They are just constantly, and of course, Planned Parenthood never stops attacking them. They're constantly under attack. So they constantly need our support and representation. And we have provided that for decades, and we will continue to do so.
And Frank just said we've got a whole group of clients now. He says about to double just in New York on this issue.
Yeah, I mean, these are, again, and these are very important places because this is the direct answer to this false talking point that you'll hear from the left and the pro-abortion industry and their spokespeople and their activists is that we're going to have too many children. I mean, Kamala Harris said that. She said, you know, people are getting pregnant right now as we speak, and there's going to be babies born, and there's no one there to help. Except for there is a huge network, like Frank said, I mean, doubling the amount of these pro-life. It's not like one in a state or
hundreds.
I mean, yeah, all over and every place you go and cities you go and
sometimes across from the abortion clinic.
Yes, and again, some are more well-funded than others, but they're all there to do the same job, which is provides another option for women if they are considering abortion, but they're just not sure. And maybe they haven't gotten an ultrasound. They can do it for free at one of these facilities. And they're worried about, well, if I do want to keep this child, do I have the resources? And then they say, well, yeah, we can connect you with, you get this, you can get this. They help them with all those government services that the government provides. Or adoption that you will provide. Then they'll start that process as well. So, and then they'll come in with to help. They do parenting class. I mean, they do all of this work. And it's already there. They have been there already, even under Roe, because they wanted to be the alternative. Now, without Roe, they know that their work is going to increase. But what does the left want to do? Not allow them to operate. Shut them down.
Right.
Because they want the crisis in the country. They want to feel like a crisis of too many children, whatever that means.
That's why we want to encourage you in our last 5 days here of our Matching Challenge campaign to go to ACLJ.org right now as we get ready to go to a break. And any amount you donate will go and be doubled. In other words, if you donate $50, we get $100. Someone else is matching that gift. We need your support today. We're about 2% behind where we were last year. We want to kind of match that. We know these are tougher times with inflation, so this is only if you're able to do it, folks. ACLJ.org. But it's really critical. I mean, we've got lawyers deployed in Washington. We're looking at, New York. We're looking at many other states as well. We've got a 50-state interactive map up. Your support right now is critical. ACLJ.org, Matching Challenge Campaign. Do it today if you're able. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with the next half hour of the broadcast in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo, folks. A lot to talk about today on the broadcast, so I'm glad you've tuned in with us. We can get into the border crisis, China, of course, the attack on the pro-life pregnancy centers, and of course, the fight for life in a post-Roe world. You know, we want to celebrate that win, and I think it's still, you can still celebrate it. You know, it's still a new victory in that sense. But we have people voting in just a couple days in Kansas next Tuesday. ACLJ Action's gotten involved there because of your financial support and running ads on a pro-life amendment that would allow them to finally legislate in Kansas. That's really all it does, is open the door in Kansas to legislating restrictions on abortion. So that's what people are actually voting on there. That's the truth. There's so much misinformation in that vote. I talked to some people this week. So, someone at their workplace was saying, you know, vote against this because they'll accuse me of murder for IVF. No. In fact, you vote yes in Kansas, you're just voting, again, to allow your legislature to finally legislate the people's representatives. But we saw, Logan, in Michigan, a $20 million of money for adoption agencies vetoed by their Democrat governor. Passed by their legislature, the representatives right. of the people, vetoed by the Democrat governor to somehow, they want to create this crisis of there's all these babies and no one to take them.
Right. It's the conversation they have with Elizabeth Warren when talking about how, you know, we need to get rid of essentially all crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life pregnancy centers around the nation. And when you have that kind of rhetoric, it does become very clear that this has nothing to do with prenatal, postnatal care. This has only to do with their big business.
Yeah, but listen to Elizabeth Warren. I mean, just to understand, this is the mainstream now of one of the major political parties in America.
We need to shut them down here in Massachusetts, and we need to shut them down all around the country. You should not be able to torture a pregnant person like that.
Now, that day she said that, I had on one of our friends who runs a number of pro-life pregnancy centers in South Carolina and Piedmont Women's Center. And, you know, this idea of torture, these are nice facilities. By the way, these facilities are so much nicer than any abortion clinics. And remember what happened when some of these abortion clinics got exposed, like the Gosnell that they don't like to talk about right now.
Yeah.
That was, I think, in a sense, it wasn't the beginning of the pro-life movement. There was a beginning of a turn against this idea that you have unrestricted abortion with no rules and no hospitals, and no, the doctors don't have to actually be able to get you into a hospital, and you don't even have to have the care of like an ambulatory care center. That is like being in the back of an ambulance.
Yeah, when they started doing that, I feel like a lot of people did turn on it going, wait a second, you're saying if there was a problem with the medical procedure, we don't have the ability to even get you to a hospital. And that became a big point, was is that even legal? And they fought that you don't have to have the ability to get someone to a hospital in this medical procedure. Because like they said, you know, that these services are such a small percentage of what they do. But we found out, obviously, sure, it may be one of many things you offer, but it's 99% of what you do. And this becomes a big, big concern for the health. You want to talk about a real health crisis for women? That's the health crisis. Doesn't really have to do with these, you know, pro-life pregnancy centers that are often trying to provide, honestly, they provide much more in terms of postnatal care than a lot of them.
And let me tell you, folks, we're able to go represent those pro-life practices. They're nonprofits too. They want to use their resources that are donated to them to help women, to help children. We're able then to use our resources to represent them at no cost, so they don't have to dig into their budget to hire law firms to defend them from the state of New York, as you'll learn on the broadcast today. On the broadcast today, we'll get into pro-life pregnancy series. We're going to get into China issue, international issues as well. But let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ financially. The matching challenge for this month in July goes through this Sunday. So donate today at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. It is so. It will keep the doors open to those pro-life pregnancy centers because they don't have to worry about legal costs versus opening the doors to help women. Again, fighting back against China. All of that work that we do at the ACLJ is because of you. Donate today. ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. Be right back. All right, welcome back to Secular. We got to your phone calls too because, listen, it's a problem. Cities are dealing with it. I bet there's communities. That's what I wanted to hear from folks at 1-800-684-3110. You might be seeing more homeless people. And I think that the homelessness issue is also not, it's not tied directly just to illegal immigrants who are being sent around different parts of the country. Certainly it's in New York, it is not Texas sending these migrants. So the mayor there is trying to shift blame, Mayor Adams shift blame to Texas and Arizona, when in fact it is the Biden administration. But yep. Even inside the homeless advocate world, which is a big operation in New York, yeah. They're saying we're dealing with this in such record numbers that the illegal immigrants are just a small part of this much bigger problem that we're going to have to deal with, like crime in New York City.
Well, let's also look at what we're dealing with here. You talked about this right before the break, and I'm going to read you this, folks. So the Coyote Enterprise, mm-hmm. That's the ability to move these people around. They specialize in, well, they call it logistics. They do this like it's a business. Transportation, surveillance, stash houses, and accounting. The revenue is now estimated to be $13 billion. That's the revenue. $13 billion. So, Andy, you're a former prosecutor. You had to deal with child trafficking and sex trafficking and human trafficking. This is not some local problem. This is a $13 billion problem.
That's right, Jay. This is a massive financial boon for the traffickers, the child traffickers, the sex traffickers, the traffickers in women and so forth across the border, using the interstate systems to move people along, and they're making an enormous amount of money over it. And the president of the United States, who sets immigration policy, who ought to be setting immigration policy, is not doing anything to stem this and to curtail it. Instead of flying to the Middle East, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, he should be taking a two-hour flight on Air Force One to the border to see exactly what his policy is doing in real terms. It is not the border states that are generating these difficulties in New York. It's not anything other than the Biden administration, and the cartels are making a fortune on it, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone from, listen, it costs anywhere from $4,000 to $20,000 to pay one of these coyotes, depending on how long your journey is. So lower, of course, if it's a smaller journey, higher if it's a bigger journey. But again, they went from it being about a $500 million a year business in 2018. Now fast forward to 2022. $13 billion a year.
Unreal.
So they're making money off this like they would be drugs and other kind of stuff.
No, they're running this like, this is like the mafia used to run a business.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. We're getting calls coming in from all over the country, 1-800-684-3110. But the first call we're going to take is actually from New York.
Yeah, Jimmy in New York online too. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, hi, guys. Secular?
Yep.
It's good to be on with you. Yeah, it's like I see it. I lived in Brooklyn. I just moved to Staten Island, and it's safer in Staten Island for the meantime.
Well, you know, where people are coming from is different. We kind of think when people think southern border, they think Mexicans.
It's not. Yeah, I think Jimmy is off on this a little bit. I mean, he may be, you know, he's trying to identify a particular class of person, but it's like you just said, it's not. They're not Mexicans generally coming to the United States.
Which is why
I think if we're looking at this saying this is a Mexico-U.S. problem in the sense that it's the border, Yes. But they're coming from all over the Northern Triangle, Latin America. I mean, the Middle East. Okay, so if you want to start looking at people's characteristics, it's all over, and including 56 people that were on the terror watch list.
And a lot of them, they go to New York because they know that's a place where people will be able to understand them.
Multi-ethnic.
They can speak. They might have family there or some connection there, and they can get some kind of work. It's a sanctuary city. But I think that the truth is we as Americans are seeing these problems all over. And I think the blame, I want you to hear this, the blame that Mayor Adams tries to put on states that are dealing with this at record numbers. How about, this is a mayor that was supposed to be sympathetic and
law and order.
Yeah, law and order. How about understand what these states are going through? And by the way, none of them have sent people to New York. Only the Biden administration does that. But what he's showing to be is a party line Democrat, unfortunately.
Yep.
Take a listen.
If there was ever an all hands on deck moment, this is it. This is it. Our system was inundated with those who were seeking shelter because of the callousness of those other states that pushed them out. We're here, we're receiving them, and everyone is going to have to be on board.
You know, Andy, first of all, he's factually wrong. And he keeps doubling down on this. It's been very clear that this was not Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico and California. This was the federal government doing the relocation of illegal immigrants coming into the United States. But he made the statement, all hands on deck. And doesn't all hands on deck have to start at the source of the area? And that is, once they're in the United States, it's really very late in the game to try to fix it.
That's right, Jay. I mean, you've got to prevent the problem. You prevent it at the source of where it occurred, and that's at the borders, wherever those borders may be, whether it's in the southwest border or in the southeast border. The influx of immigrants and migrants who are illegal into the United States is an issue that is left to the federal government, and the president of the United States sets that policy. He has set no policy. His secretary says that the borders are secure. Nonsense. That's an absolute fabrication and a falsehood. These states now that are receiving these migrants coming in, and they're not the ones shipping them to the sanctuary city. The federal government is doing that in plane loads. So, you know, when Mayor Adams, who I agree with, Jordan, he's a great disappointment. I thought he was a law enforcement officer, that he would understand the problems having been in the police, but he's a party line Democrat and in lockstep with the Democratic administration, and he's spouting the same words that you would expect from a Democrat. But what he says is that we're a sanctuary city, but he doesn't want to take on the burden of understanding that a sanctuary city needs to put its hands in its pockets with both hands in both pockets and come up with the money. So he looks to Joe Biden to help him. Joe Biden's not going to help you in this. It's a disaster from the beginning.
Yeah, I want to go to the phones. Whitney in Texas on line three. Hey, Whitney.
Hi. Yes, as a Texan, I got to say the general response to Mayor Adams' comments was just welcome to our world, right? But take what he's complaining about and multiply it times 100, and that's what's happening here and in Arizona and in the border states. And frankly, I welcomed his comments. I feel like it was a wake-up call to the rest of the country. Outside of your program, I'm surprised how many people I know in other states that don't hear about the border on a daily basis. It is our top news story every single day.
You know, Whitney, it's interesting also because Jordan and I were talking this during the break. The fact is, you have to be not looking to not see the problem. In other words, if you're not looking, you're not going to see the problem. But if you're looking, and I don't care what city you're in, most cities right now are dealing with this. And they're dealing with it because if you look at the sheer numbers, when you're talking about 250,000 people a month, you're talking about 3 million people a year. In 2 years, that's 6 million people. You're going to notice that in every single community. And that's what's happening, actually, Jordan. And that's where the failure of the policy is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is everywhere in the country. It is, whether it's homelessness, which, again, his folks said, this is not about the migrants and the illegal immigrants are not the reason why we have a homelessness crisis in New York City. So that's not true. It's also he blamed the wrong people. He tried to blame Texas and Arizona, who are on the front lines of this. And as caller said, I mean, this is their top story every night on local news.
Yeah.
This is what's affecting them the most, their communities. Crime, overwhelmed schools, everything that Mayor Adams is talking about is something that red states have been dealing with,
yes,
and been ignored by the Biden administration. They have said our schools are overrun. What did he say? Our schools are going to be overrun. So, our healthcare system is going to be overrun. We might have to use hotels to start give these people somewhere to stay. Guess where this has been happening for the last three years? Right there on the border. The Trump administration was on a path towards getting this secure, but it was not completed yet.
Yeah.
But the numbers were nowhere near. They were not even a half.
It's also, and we got less than a minute here, but it's also taxing the legal systems, both the criminal system, the regular general criminal system, and also, of course, the legal immigration system.
Well, Jay, the legal system cannot handle this kind of overload.
Right.
Look, the immigration judges, the law enforcement officers, the sheriffs, the police officers. I mean, I've dealt with law enforcement all my life as a prosecutor, both on the state level and, of course, as a U.S. attorney on the federal level. And they cannot handle the overload that these migrants, these illegal aliens who are coming into the United States are bringing in terms of keeping the law and order, securing the peace, and doing the things that you've got to do to police in a normal sense. Now you've got this influx of immigrants on top of that. And the local law enforcement and the federal law enforcement officers simply are overwhelmed and can't do it.
All right, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign here at the ACLJ, and we really need your support. We're very close to getting our last year number, which is what we're targeting. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're going to get a matching gift for. We encourage you, if you're watching this broadcast, of course, share it with your friends, but also ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Secular, you know, one of these efforts we talked about today, the pro-life pregnancy centers, we talked about the vote, you know, in Kansas next week, where that's the first time we're seeing people go, not just legislators, but individuals themselves, individual voters go, that will open up if it does pass. So we're encouraging people to vote yes there August 2nd. It will open up the legislature's ability to put in restrictions on abortion in Kansas. It doesn't actually mandate what they're going to do, but it will allow them to do it. We're seeing the Indiana legislation moving through the state House and Senate there. I want to play a video we put together for, and of course, if you're listening to the broadcast, it's got audio to it as well, about our 50 state effort on life that we knew, and this was even before the draft opinion came leaked out. We knew that if Roe versus Wade was overturned, or even if they allowed Mississippi's law to stand without overturning Roe versus Wade, it would unleash a whole new battle for life. The battle we've been waiting to fight. The battle we've been fighting to have, I would say, not waiting to have, fighting to have for decades at the ACLJ, we're now able to engage in all 50 states, but it's going to be different in every one of those states. Take a listen or watch our new video on that. For decades, the ACLJ has battled tirelessly toward the goal of seeing the Supreme Court overturn Roe versus Wade. As steadfast defenders of the innocent unborn, we celebrated this historic victory at the Supreme Court. But now it's time to put the hammer down and dig even deeper, because our war at the state level has begun. And we want you to know that we're fully engaged. The ACLJ just launched a nationwide campaign to defeat abortion in all 50 states. In order for this to happen, you need to know exactly what's going on where you live. So part of our campaign includes a layout of abortion laws in each state at the time the Roe versus Wade decision came down. You can find this at our website, aclj.org. And as you'll see, some states were prepared for Roe to fall and had already passed certain laws to protect the unborn. But others remain hostile to life and are moving to enshrine a right to abortion into their state constitution or state law. And this is exactly what we're prepared to take on. The breakdown of laws that we provided is a first step. When there's a fast-moving development regarding abortion, the ACLJ will be the first to know about it
and will be ready. Right now, we're calling on states to enact robust protections for life and to vigorously oppose efforts to weaken those protections. This will not be easy, but neither was our last fight. And look how that turned out. When the ACLJ fights for life, we're always on the right side of history. We're in a matching challenge right now. That means all donations to the ACLJ will be matched, making your gift doubled. So go to ACLJ.org right now and join the fight.
And I will tell you, we put in a lot of work, Logan, on that interactive map alone to do 50 states on where it all stands if you take Roe out.
Yep.
And what you'll see is even in the states, by the way, that are shaded gray, that just means that right now there's not anything active going on. There's not like a vote about to happen. But you'll still learn about what needs to happen. Like in California, taking aside the pro-life pregnancy center war on them, in California, what would it take to change to pro-life? And in some of those states, even the bluest of the blue, it's just legislative changes. It doesn't take constitutional amendments. It doesn't take court decisions. It will take a shift in kind of thinking on the issue. But we're now able to take our resources, Logan, out of just fighting in the federal to take them into the states so that we can have those conversations with people and know that if we pass the restrictions, they're going to be upheld.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at that map, it is interesting to see how many had trigger laws already in place, meaning as soon as Roe was overturned, there were laws that were put in place or things that would change quite a bit. I mean, really the middle of the country for a good portion of it, especially in the Southeast and the Midwest, there's a lot of these places had specific laws already in place, whether that is heartbeat bills, whether that's trigger laws. And then all of a sudden you do have some that are the dark gray of there are no restrictions at all at any gestation level. That is pretty wild as well to see. So you can kind of judge the country a little bit on where they stand. But like you said, some of these just haven't had the opportunity. And that's why the ACLJ is here now to go to these states and to hopefully impact what's going on legislatively.
I think we are uniquely situated, folks, you are as well, because we're fighting for life. And, you know, our fight for life, because you hear this from the left all the time, what about after people are born? You don't care about that. Well, I actually take our work at the border, and we talk about so much the humanitarian side of this. People may have seen some of the video Ted Cruz put together this week, showing, unfortunately, very graphic, but children dead in water, sometimes with a parent also dead. And these we don't know their names, we don't know their story, and unfortunately we might never know. But this is we talked earlier in the week about the cost of the traffickers, what they're making. They've gone from this being a millions of dollar a year business to a $13 billion a year business in trafficking humans. Humans. We saw earlier, you know, in the summer, that horrible with the tractor trailer and the 40 plus. Yeah. I mean, this again, it is the left that ignores that humanitarian crisis.
Well, they try to flip it. It's a conversation maybe we could have here quickly. Is you see that kind of post, they go, well, if the borders are actually open, like they said they're open, then why does this stuff happen? Clearly, the conservatives are trying to keep it down. The borders wouldn't, if they weren't to close, they wouldn't be happening. That is such a false equivalency, and they don't, a fundamental misunderstanding of how things work there.
Yeah, I mean, those people, the borders are open
right
for legal travel. So whether you have a passport, you can drive over to Mexico and then come back to the U.S. You can the goods go back and forth. You can't illegally come.
Right.
And there's a difference. It's just like how you can't just get on a plane wherever you want to go and wherever you want in the world. You can't. Some countries require you to not just have a passport but a visa. Even in the pre-COVID world, before all of that, but even now in the post-COVID world, some require you to do more and more testing. Others don't require as much.
There were places that already required some medical shots.
Right, you gotta have. There are rules in place. You gotta follow that country's rules. We have our rules in place. And again, it is these leftist groups pushing these people to make this journey. And why, you know, at the ACLJ, what we're trying to focus on a lot right now with the Biden administration is why on earth did they change policies that were working with Mexico, like remain in Mexico, some of the border wall where it's necessary, where it works. And it feels like, and that's what we're trying to uncover 100%, but it's just because Donald Trump did it.
Yeah, it had his name on it. And therefore, if it had his name on it, it had to automatically mean bad. And we've learned is look at the world right now and tell me that things are better than they were. Just because you had a Trump's name on it didn't mean it was necessarily bad policy, didn't mean it was necessarily bad for the country. And look, we're seeing that maybe a little too much. I don't really want to play the, you know, look what you did, you know, we told you so type situation because of the detriment that has been, you know, made to this country. But that is why we are here. And that's why we're continuing this fight. You did see Supreme Court justice who voted in favor of life. That is a direct result of that. It's also a direct result of the influence we've had for the last 30 plus, almost 40 years with this organization, with the ACLJ. We can't do it without your support. And right now we are at the very end of our matching challenge for this month, which means all donations are effectively doubled. If you give $30, that is $60, and so on and so on and so on. And this organization runs on the small donors. This is not run by big corporations. This is up to you to make sure we are there.
Yeah, I mean, again, your $20 donation, your $30 donation, I mean, our average donation, I'll tell you, is about $40. That puts you right in line with most folks donating to the ACLJ. It has a huge impact. So I want you, again, you've gotten through this weekend, but do it now if you can. Or when you got a minute, you can do it on your phone, online, aclj.org. You'll see matching clowns. Click on that or the donate button. You'll be part of the matching challenge. Double the impact of your donation. Talk to you.